Welcome back to the Locker Room Show. Trevor Turner with you on an unseasonably warm Tuesday afternoon here in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I'd like to bring in Chris Grofich from our friends over at Black Shoe Diaries. Talk about National Signing Day coming up. Chris, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm down here in Harrisburg, and it's just about April, it feels like.
Do you know what the worst part about it is? Is that this is fool's gold.
Oh, of course it is.
It's going to be terrible as soon as we turn around.
I'm a lifelong Pennsylvanian. I know how this ends.
All right, Chris, let's jump straight into this. Tomorrow's National Signing Day. Penn State has 20 scholarships available. They've gotten 19 commits, which means they have one more available. A lot was made. A lot of people thought it may have been the kid over at Jeanette, Demetrius Cox, the safety, but he committed to Michigan State. What do you see that final scholarship going?
At this point, I think it's probably going to go to somebody already on the team who doesn't have a scholarship, unless something really unexpected happens in the next 24 hours. And there were rumors that Penn State was going after Jaron Jones from upstate New York, somebody who was a five-star/four-star defensive tackle who was formerly committed to Penn State but instead chose Notre Dame. And this is long before the scandal ever happened. There were rumors that Penn State was trying to flip him back to Happy Valley, but that doesn't seem to be happening. So my guess now, like I said, unless something really unexpected happens, it'll probably go to somebody who's currently a walk-on.
It was looking like a really good class for Penn State. The problem was in the past 6 months, and it hasn't all been because of the scandal, but two-thirds of it has been, they've lost, by my count, four-star recruits, Jaron Jones, J.J. Denman, Joey O'Connor, and Tommy Schutt, and as long as Cameron Williams, so actually make it five. In the end, though, you have to still look at some of the positives. Evan Lewis, the wide receiver, Jameel Pollard, the big defensive tackle from New Jersey. What's your overall impression of this year's class?
It was an impossible situation that Bill O'Brien walked into. I mean, it's hard enough with Urban Meyer being next door recruiting against you. It's even harder when he's essentially recruiting against air, which is what the situation was for almost 2 months at Penn State, where there was just no movement on the head coaching search. And even while Meyer was named head coach out there, they essentially were able to work with two coaching staffs, which is not against NCAA rules. I mean, it's been done by other schools in the past. But essentially, Meyer didn't have any game prep or bowl prep to worry about. He was recruiting full-time. So, I mean, that's going to be a reality of life now in the new Ohio State era. It's going to be really difficult to go against him, and not to mention Brady Hoke up in Michigan. As for the class itself, yeah, I mean, there are definite positives. Eugene Lewis should be a solid contributor at wide receiver. Akeel Lynch, a late commit, the coaching staff did an excellent job getting him away from Boston College at the end. He's a four-star running back, according to 24/7, and a three-star, according to the other services. And he walks in pretty much immediately as the third-string running back because that's a place on Penn State's roster where there's not a lot of depth. The challenge for Bill O'Brien in the short term is finding out which of these young athletes, the defensive backs / wide receivers, can either be safeties or cornerbacks. Because if you look at the safety position, it's basically Stephen Obeng Ajapong and Malcolm Willis and nobody else.
No, it's a good point. That's actually what I was going to ask you about next, were the running backs and the safeties. And I think a lot of people look at those two spots and they think to themselves, well, Penn State has themselves a real weakness here. What I think people often overlook is the fact that, listen, this is a recruiting pitch. When there's not a whole lot of running backs on the roster, you can go into a high school kid's dining room, talk to their family, talk to that recruit, and tell them, listen, this kid, Silas Red, he's on his way out in a couple of years, and after that, you're will be the next oldest guy. So sometimes people look at that as a weakness. I wonder if that can be a nice little recruiting ploy down the road.
I think it'll be a nice strength for the next class. Bill O'Brien and his coaching staff were working so far behind the eight ball in this situation that, I mean, not only with him being new on the job, but essentially still finishing out his duties up in New England. By the way, everybody, even if it hurts you, cheer for New England, because the Super Bowl ring on Bill O'Brien's finger is just about the best recruiting tool we can have for the 2013 class. But yeah, it's that's why it was so disappointing when Cox decided to go to Michigan State, because you look at the depth chart and there's really nobody. And certainly, you know, Willis played a little bit, SOA, as to shorten his name, Ajupong, really hasn't played much at all. So it's essentially going to be wide open. And, you know, if either of those guys get hurt, and certainly we've seen, you know, guys like Nick Suke in the past struggle with injuries, and, you know, it's no strange event in football if guys get hurt. It's, you know, it's scary what could happen back at that position in the back of the defense.
With Chris Grofich, editor at BlackShoeDiaries.com. Chris, I was going over the top 20 Pennsylvania recruits at Rivals.com, and Penn State got two in the top 20. And, you know, I can understand Ohio State, especially right now, being opportunistic and going in there and grabbing some guys. I can understand Pitt, who have actually recruited, especially Western PA, really well, and possibly even better than Penn State the last couple of seasons. But Rutgers got three top 20 guys, and Toledo got as many top 20 guys as Penn State. To me, I've always wondered, seemingly it's been the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland, Virginia guys who've really been the bulk of the Penn State classes. What's wrong with Penn State in recruiting Pennsylvania kids?
Well, there are a few things in play there. One, if you talk about the top 20 guys in a particular state, Penn State, on average, is probably only going to really want maybe 7 of them or 8 of them. They're not going to want all 20 of those guys, because they're also recruiting those areas, like you said, Maryland, Virginia, New Jersey, upstate New York. They've done really well in New England the last few years, actually. As far as why that happens, well, I mean, there are a few theories. I mean, they haven't recruited the eastern part of the state very well. The old coaching staff, beloved as they were to many of us, really burned some bridges at certain high schools around the state. I mean, certainly Bishop and Devitt here in Harrisburg is one of them. Woodland Hills is another one out in Pittsburgh. Certainly there are more across the state that, you know, they were essentially shut out of, and that's going to be one of Bill O'Brien's biggest challenges now, is going into those schools, mending those fences, and saying, look, it's a new coaching staff, it's a new day, we want to be able to come in and talk to your players.
I think one of the bigger disappointments about this class, because we knew a couple of guys to be decommitted. We knew there was no reason Joey O'Connor from Colorado was going to stay with the team. We knew Tommy Schitt was a guy from Illinois. He wasn't going to stay with Penn State. But you figured a guy like Skylar Morningweg, who as a quarterback and on a team that needs a quarterback, you thought maybe he'd be a guy who'd stick around out of Philadelphia. He decommitted pretty much at the last moment. They brought in a kid bench, and they got him to decommit from Rice to get here. But you know what? I found that may have been, of all the decommits, I think Morningweg may have been the most disappointing to me.
Yeah, and it depends on your view of them. Morningweg and bench, according to the services at least, and this is without looking at, you know, an hour of film, are essentially rated about the same, despite bench being from Rice and Morningweg ending up at a major BCS program like Florida. They're about the same height. Bench is more of a pro-style quarterback, a little bit thicker. Morningweg is more of a dual threat, even though he only runs about a 4.65 or 4.7, and granted, that's much faster than I can run. But the point is, I think Bill O'Brien and Morningweg, along with his father, of course, the coach for the Eagles, sort of came to a mutual decision that it probably wasn't going to work out, you know, Brian's style of offense. And you know, they brought in bench, and really they needed to bring in two quarterbacks. They probably needed to bring in two running backs and two or three safeties as well. I mean, there's a certain amount of scrambling involved here that was going to be a part of this class no matter what. I would look for O'Brien and staff to go after some of the most highly recruited, highly rated quarterbacks in the country next year, and they're going to need to bring in at least one, if not two, of those guys. If you can find two that'll agree to come here at the same time, much like Rob Bolden and Paul Jones did.
With Chris Grofich of BlackShoeDiaries.com, and we knew in this impossible situation, a 46th ranked recruiting class may have been pretty much the fallout of it. That ended up being the case. Last year's class wasn't great either, but looking forward, how do you see next year going?
Well, they're working on it already, which is encouraging to see. There are 14 scholarships that are in that senior class right now, and there are always a few more that sort of magically appear towards recruiting season. A lot of times it's seniors who have graduated and still have another year of eligibility that the program kind of says, well, you know, maybe it's time for you to get on with your life a little bit. And Joe Paterno did that too every year. So it's not a new development by any means, and it's not a dirty tactic. They're going to have to fill all these holes that we've been talking about, safety, quarterback, running back. Certainly they're going to go after Adam Brenneman from down here around the Harrisburg area. He's going to be the number one rated tight end in the country. Hopefully they get board early, as early as March, and he can start recruiting, because that's really one of the most underrated aspects of recruiting is getting a few kids on board early who are well-known across the country, who will then go out and make connections and recruit other kids in that class. That's what actually Cameron Williams, before he bolted to Ohio State, he was the guy that was getting a lot of Penn State recruits to come on board. Guys like Naeem Wartman, guys like Jake Kiley, and a lot of fans were worried, and rightfully so, when Williams decided to go to Ohio State, or at least when he was beginning to flirt with Ohio State. Thankfully, most of those guys stayed on. Armoni Reeves didn't. He was pretty much going to follow Williams wherever he went, and I think those guys were going to follow Noah Spence wherever they went. But certainly you want a guy like Brenneman and some others. You want to get a quarterback on early to at least get some recruiting connections and get other players on as quickly as possible to build momentum.
Great stuff, especially that final point about a guy getting – people don't forget about that factor. They don't remember the hotshot recruit that is able to pull others with him. Chris, thanks a lot for coming on. Certainly we want to do it again sometime.
My pleasure. Let's do it.
Chris Grovich of BlackShoeDiaries.com. I'm telling you, as far as blog sources go for Penn State football or basketball, absolutely great stuff over there. Still don't understand this Philadelphia-Rutgers connection. It baffles me. Archbishop Wood this year apparently had it. I think they're in the AAA category in high school this year. They won their championship like 56-0 in the end. They won states by that much with like 7 D1 recruits. Not one of them going to Penn State. But this Archidiakono kid on the offensive line going to Rutgers. I wonder if he is of any relation to the Archidiakono who's playing on the O-line for Penn State. If that's the case, really, can't get him? In any case, we'll talk to Shane Wilbur, the voice of the Northern Tier, coming up next. He thinks we're talking Super Bowl. Instead, I'm going to give him a bunch of stupid prop bets. That's coming up next on ESPN Radio Williamsport. I'm Trevor Turner. This is The Locker Room Show.